1000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, heard in Amelia Island at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Those of you who are regular listeners to Let's Face the Issue with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood know that I have sat in for him previously before, and it's always an honor and pleasure to do so. And those of you who have heard me before, you know a little bit about my background, but for those of you who have not, this is your first time, I'll just briefly share who I am. Again, Mike Hill. I'm out of Pensacola, Florida. I currently own an insurance and financial services agency. I've been doing that for 33 years now. Prior to that, I was active duty Air Force for 10 years after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I ran for public office and was elected to the State House in Florida in 2013 and served in that capacity first in District 2 and then in District 1 until 2020. So I'm a Republican, staunch conservative. And again, it's really an honor for me to sit in and host a show for Dr. Youngblood. Let's begin with one of our sponsors, and that's Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss an awful lot of topics today. I hope we can get them all in. And any topic that you want to join in and express your thoughts, or you have any questions, the number to call in is 904-831-0917. I have a good friend. Let's start with this piece. I have a good friend named Richard A. Viguerie. He's been around in the conservative movement for some time, and he has come out with this statement, which I agree with completely. He says, don't use the term liberal. Don't use the term leftist. Don't use the term progressive. And the reason why he says don't use those terms, he says, because that will not be the title or label of the people who are going to be running for office this year. The leftists, the liberals, the progressive, they're all Democrats. So call them Democrats, because you won't see leftist so-and-so on the ballot. You're going to see Democrat so-and-so on the ballot. So call them out for who they are. And he wrote a blog here recently, which I thought was pretty interesting. He states, "I urge you not to say liberal, woke, progressive, socialist, Marxist, leftist, etc." And this is Richard Viguerie speaking now. He says, "My last reason to identify people left of center as Democrats is because of my strong opinion that President Joe Biden will not be on a November 5th, 2024 presidential ballot." This is coming from Richard Viguerie. He was very prominent in the Reagan administration and continues to be a very conservative voice to this day. He says that Biden will not be on a November 5th, 2024 presidential ballot. He goes on to say Democrat leaders are really smart. They really want to win in 2024, apparently more than GOP leaders. Therefore, there's no way they're going to go into the November 2024 election with a frail, mentally deficient candidate who's getting mentally and physically weaker by the day. And however weak he is in January 2024, he's going to be weaker in November 2024. If conservatives pull out all of our political eggs in the coming months, blaming most of this country's problems on Joe Biden, including inflation, out-of-control spending, an invasion of illegal aliens through our southern border, war on police leading to more crime and murder in big cities, war on fossil fuels, war on Catholics, war on evangelicals. You can go on and on. We'll be at a loss on August 19th when the Democrat National Convention opens in Chicago and President Biden goes to the camera and microphones and announces he is not running again." Great point. Richard Viguerie makes a great point there, where he is saying that if we slam Biden, we focus everything on Biden right now, and then Biden walks up and says, "I'm not running," and they instead nominate someone else, then what? We're going to be scrambling from August through November trying to attack this new person. So he is saying, don't just call out Joe Biden, call out Democrats, because they are all behind this. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to call in with your thoughts on that, the number is 904-831-0917. Some of the topics I'd like us to get into that we can discuss today is, first of all, this nutty cycle that we're going to have for important dates this election year. Know this, ladies and gentlemen, 2024, every single state representative and every congressional House member representative is running for office in 2024. They have to every 2 years. This is a dynamic year. Many things can happen which could change the landscape and the future of this nation. You must get involved in the political process. Don't think that it's too dirty, that it's not something you want to get involved in, that you're just going to sit it out because they're all crooks anyway, which they are. Let me take that back. A lot of them are crooks anyway, so you just don't want to be bothered. You can't afford to do that. It is too important. You must get involved in the political process that this constitutional republic we call the United States, that's how we exist, by electing officials who you believe hold your values and that you hold them accountable for what they are doing. So when it comes time to vote, make sure you vote in this upcoming election cycle at all levels, at the city, at the county, at the state, and at the congressional levels. You must get involved. You cannot afford to sit by, because we are seeing the results of having this installed Biden regime currently in office and the damage they are doing to our nation in every facet you could think of, socially, politically, economically, foreign policy, everywhere. It is an utter disaster, as the Democrats are prone to do. No matter what they touch, they seem to destroy. And if we sit by and watch and let them do this, then it is going to be even worse of a disaster that we're sitting in now. And even though we know you can expect this, ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be election fraud in 2024. The Democrats have proven that they can do it and get away with it if we let them. So we cannot let them. We must get out, vote, express your opinion, know what is important, know the issues, know the candidates in detail, vet those candidates, and make sure that the right person is elected, and then hold them accountable. Now, in the 2024 calendar, we are chock full of national and statewide races, alongside a contentious presidential election that is coinciding with Donald Trump's slate of trials amid his run for another term, which, by the way, we all know that those trials that Donald Trump is going through right now is nothing more than election interference. It is the Democrats trying to do whatever they can to keep President Trump off the ballot, as we've seen them do in Colorado, Maine. They try to do it in Michigan, where they are declaring that he cannot run in their state, which is insane. It's utterly insane. But Democrats don't care. They will do it anyway. They will turn their nose up at you and say, so what are you going to do about it? They've shown that they can cheat in elections and then declare, what are you going to do about it? And nothing happened, as we see what's going on in Arizona. Everyone knows that Carrie Lake won that election. We all know, we've seen it, the mass fraud that happened in the 2020 election with President Trump at that time. But despite that, we still must get out and vote. We must overwhelm them with the numbers so that we can make sure that we can hold them off from doing much more damage than they currently are. Okay. Presidential candidates, House and Senate hopefuls, gubernatorial nominees, and others will face off on November 5th after a busy year of party primaries and special elections. Additionally, the former president faces four trials following 2023 indictments related to alleged election interference, classified documents, and hush money payments, as he challenges, so far, President Joe Biden for the White House. Next year would be a crazy year. Trump versus Biden versus who knows how many third parties. Plus, the two parties continuing to deal with realignment of their constituencies. Plus, an electorate that's more upset than it was even in 2016. Scott Jennings, a GOP strategist and veteran of numerous campaigns, told the Daily Caller News Foundation that 2024 is going to be a nutty cycle. Now, the presidential primaries. Trump remains the clear frontrunner in the GOP primary with more than a 50-point lead, followed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis at 11.3%, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley at 11%, businessman Vivek Ramaswamy at 4%, and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie at 3.3%, and former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson at 0.8%, according to the Real Clear Politics Average. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join us, call in at 904-831-0917. The former president is also ahead by double digits in the key early nominating states of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, according to Real Clear Politics. Iowa's caucus is the first nominating contest of the 2024 season on January 15th. That's coming up very quick, ladies and gentlemen. Followed by New Hampshire's first in a nation primary on January 23rd. Nevada is holding both a party primary and a state caucus within 2 days of each other on February 6th and February 8th, respectively. South Carolina's primary is set for February 24th, and Michigan's will take place 3 days later. As a part of the Democratic National Committee's new calendar, at the directive of Biden, South Carolina was moved up first for their party, pushing back both Iowa and New Hampshire. Iowa caved to the DNC and will release their presidential preferences on March 5th, while New Hampshire kept its late January date. Because of this, Biden will not appear on a New Hampshire primary ballot. However, a significant write-in campaign is well underway. This allows for a small opening for Democrat Representative Dean Phillips of Minnesota to shore up support in the state. Oh, by the way, while we're at it, there's in Florida, the Florida Democrat Party stated that the only Democrat who will be on the Democrat primary ballot is Joe Biden. They just declared it. They said nobody else will appear on a ballot. That is just insane. And there's no way they are going to get away with it. And so we're going to make sure that we call them out on what they are doing and why in the Democrat Party. Now, let's get back here to this article that we were just going over about this crazy election cycle that we have coming up. On March 2nd, Missouri and Idaho both hold their GOP caucuses, while North Dakota will take place 2 days later, and over a dozen states will hold their Republican nominating contest on March 5th, on Super Tuesday, including Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia, all on March 5th, Super Tuesday. The GOP nominating contest for Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Washington are set for March 12th, while Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio's will take place on March 19th. Louisiana's primary is on March 23rd. So as you can see, an awful lot coming up. The Republican National Convention will take place from July 15th to July 18th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the Democratic National Convention follows on August 19th to August 22nd in Chicago, Illinois. So as you can see, folks, this is going to be a crazy election cycle. And here Trump is facing trials for four criminal indictments, one in New York, one in Florida, one in Washington, D.C., and one in Georgia. The former president was first arrested by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg in late March for allegedly falsifying business records to reimburse a hush money payment his former lawyer gave to porn star Stormy Daniels. The trial date for this case is set for March 25th. Everyone knows by now that this is a sham trial that is going on, and Alvin Bragg knew it before he even brought the accusations against Trump. The whole idea was to interfere with Trump campaigning. The whole idea was to interfere with Trump's ability to run for office. And I see that we have a caller on the line, Lola Sanchez, who would like to discuss a very important topic that is going on not only in Florida but across our nation, and that is the Democrats who are tearing down our historical monuments, our cenotaphs, which have artistic and historical value. Lola Sanchez belongs to Defend America. And Lola, what are your thoughts that you would like to share with us, please?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, it's great to be with you. And it's actually Guardians of American History. And I hope people will visit our website and sign the petition to get the Florida legislature to finally do what you tried to do for several years, and that is to put a big red X over the Cultural Revolution and the destruction of our historic monuments and memorials. It's an ongoing full swing just in Jacksonville. Many people are aware that right after Christmas, in an early morning overnight move, the new Democrat mayor, Donna Deegan, decided a memorial that had been there since 1914 had to go. What was so offensive? Well, it's a woman sitting on a chair with two little children, and she's reading to them. You know, that's the offense.
Wait, Lola, repeat that again. You're telling me that this Democrat mayor of Jacksonville, in the still of the night, removed a cenotaph of a woman reading to two children. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. In fact, the model for this memorial was Audrey Munson, who was America's first supermodel. She was known as Miss Manhattan. She has pieces that she modeled for are all over the country and, you know, are very important pieces. She's posed for many different sculptors, and this particular sculptor who did the memorial in the park there in Jacksonville was Alan George Newman, who many people will recognize his work. What made him famous was The Hiker, which was the Spanish-American War soldier. So it was a beautiful piece of work. Right now it's sitting in a city work yard. Beautiful bronze work hauled away by a crane.
Lola,
it's reminiscent of Nazi Paris.
Lola, why did she remove it? What was her rationale for removing that beautiful piece of art?
There's a group in Jacksonville called the North Side Coalition, and they are a avowed social justice group, and in fact they're so gleeful about this removal that they're advancing on their next agenda item, which is the removal of the Andrew Jackson city namesake equestrian statue that's in downtown. So there's just not enough that they're willing to go after to in this cultural revolution, Maoist-like cultural revolution that attacks the four olds, which includes culture and history. It's a weapon. They're weaponizing these memorials and monuments and our history to detach us from our past, so we won't be able to learn from the mistakes of the past and move forward and progress.
Now, Lola, you mentioned that it's this group that is pressuring this mayor, this Democrat mayor, to remove these cenotaphs. But why did they target this woman reading to children? What was their rationale for wanting to have that removed?
Well, this memorial was called the Women of the South Memorial, and it was erected in 1914. It was partially funded by the state of Florida, but it was the brainchild of the former veterans from Florida in the war between the North and the South, the Civil War. And so because it was a tribute to the women of Florida who survived the war and kept the home fires going and kept the children, you know, together and fed, because of its connection to history and the South, that was their excuse. Now, of course, the excuse for Andrew Jackson is a different excuse, and this same group wants to rename a whole bunch of bridges, and they've already renamed several, advocating successfully in renaming several schools in Jacksonville, and I'm sure some of your listeners were involved in that.
Lola, that is just crazy. It's insane that just because you will remove a statue, a beautiful statue, that somehow that is going to make some group's life better. I mean, is it going to allow them to get a higher pay? Is it going to allow their children to do better in school because you've changed the school name? How is your life going to change because you are spending all of this money to try and destroy our history? It doesn't make sense, does it, Lola?
Now, the Northside Coalition leader called this particular artwork a hateful monstrosity. So, you know, how demented must you be to call a statue of a woman, a beautiful woman, the world, a national supermodel, the ideal woman, you know, figuratively, with a beautiful piece of art in a family, traditional family setting. You have to be something wrong with you to be able to call that a monstrosity.
Exactly. And tell the listeners again, Lola, the organization that you are involved in and how you can be contacted.
Yes, Guardians of American History is leading an initiative to get the Florida legislature to impede this cultural revolution and this destruction of history. And our website is historyguardians.com, and we have a petition there. And we're asking everyone that listens to you today to visit the website, either on their phone or on their computer or tablet, and sign the petition. And that will allow us to get the message to Tallahassee that it's we're sick and tired of this historic destruction, this cancel culture, and show our support to the bill sponsor who are sponsoring this in the Florida legislature, and also a way for us to keep in touch and let supporters know of how this is going and how it's progressing and what they can do to help. It's such a critical time. You know, they just took down the Reconciliation Memorial at Arlington National Cemetery. You know, it's really sad when we're a memorial that was created to heal the wounds of the past has been removed and reopening old historic wounds. It's very sad. This is at Arlington National Cemetery. And yes, Guardians was involved with that campaign, but it's really hard to fight the government. But we're still fighting it. And defendarlington.org, if they want to know more about what happened at Arlington, they can visit defendarlington.org.
Yes. Lola, thank you for sharing that. And it is such a shame that we're seeing the Democrats with this utter destruction of our history. And as you said, it is to make sure that we don't understand and know the history so that they can rewrite it to fit their narrative. And as you
mentioned, exactly what Mao did in his Cultural Revolution. And it's what so many revolutionaries have done. Taking down historic monuments and destroying a people's past is the first step in controlling the people.
Tell our audience again how they can get in touch with you and how to sign that petition.
HistoryGuardians.com. HistoryGuardians.com.
Thank you for calling in, Lola. This is Mike sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. We will continue after the top of the hour.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First.